He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
And it is indeed, and I don't know whether this will be an electrically charged show this week or not, but here we go. the first headline that I want to comment on, which will lead into where I'm going, is one from Automotive News Europe, which says, once green plug-in hybrid cars suddenly look like dinosaurs. I'm going to insert the word may as opposed to definitely, which is not used but implied by the headline. And this goes to the long problem of where we're going with these manufacturers dedicating themselves to converting to one kind of all-electric car or another by as early as 2030. Jay, when's GM saying they're going to be all-electric?
I don't know. Maybe 2030. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter.
Anyway,
I think it's coming at us benevolently in a good way, but also in an unsustainable way as far as getting the general public worldwide, if not just the U.S. or Europe, to buy all electric vehicles by that particular decade number. And there are going to be many, many, many fossil fuel cars on the road long after the 2030 model year or year comes at us. And having just been out west skiing in a very big resort in Colorado, I did a lot of sort of visual analysis of what was readily going to be possible or impossible should that kind of level of electric car use start showing up in places like Vail, Aspen, or anywhere else. It's a vacation go-to place. And the problem is going to be the infrastructure, in my opinion, that's going to be impossible to do in a way that would make owning all electric vehicles or having all electric vehicles in these places really a practical situation. First of all, you've got Tesla.
Vail and Aspen are really not going to be an issue when it comes to mass electrification of vehicles.
It is, and it's going to be an issue in a lot of different places, and the problem is going to be if all the electric vehicles show up on a weekend, are there going to be enough charger places for people to conveniently and confidently be able to recharge their vehicles? Unless they get to charging stations which can actually refill a vehicle for the return trip home within 5 minutes or 10 minutes or less.
All right, now I'm going to say something really extraterrestrial here, all right?
Okay.
What if you didn't need charging stations? What if the technology existed to charge? That's where I'm going, Jay, unless you want to.
You
want to take the heat, or do you want me to take the heat?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's say, again, phoning it in from, shall we say, Venus. Let's say the technology actually existed where your car could just suck it. Your car could just charge itself.
Well, that would happen if there was sunlight every day, sun, and there were panels on the car roof, and they were able to recharge the batteries fast enough so they were useful for a return trip of, let's say, 200 miles or more, laden with skis,
yep,
maybe 500 pounds of baggage, climbing long uphill grades on one side of a mountain, and maybe recharging, regeneration, going down the other side.
Back to Venus for 1 second.
Yes.
All I'm saying is, because I completely understand where you are coming from, and believe me, that's where I started. But if the technology existed that made electric as much of a no-brainer, as easy, you don't think about it. I mean, there are people who still drive around and their gas tanks are, you know, a tenth full. Never mind. But let that pass. And not everyone's as obsessive as my brother is, for example, about keeping it above half a tank. But if it were just as easy as filling up your car and knowing that you could go wherever you wanted, driving, you know, like you could carry a helium balloon on your, whatever,
Jill, that's a whole other option, which if it were that true...
Can I just bring this back to real life? Like
not yet, Jay. Not yet.
Because I think, not yet. I think the people who are flying Gulfstream's private jets to Aspen or Vail will find a way to get to the hillsides and back. I don't think that really is the problem. I was at JFK last night and in the cell phone parking lot, and there were a gazillion... again, we're seeing air traffic rising again, which is mind-boggling, but that's a whole other issue. And in the parking lot, there were many Uber and Lyft drivers just sitting and waiting. And there was one sole Tesla Y Uber driver recharging at a non-Tesla charging station, by the way. And there were like 20 charging stations that were available and not being used. So I think that's where electrification needs to happen. I think that's where it's going to happen, and I think we're going to see it. And I think the infrastructure is going to be coming to us. And in that respect, look at the political conversation going on now with the infrastructure bills. There are different plans, tax credit plans out there regarding electric vehicles. So I think things are going to happen. They're going to happen a lot quicker than we think they are, or than we can object to.
Whether or not that is so, what I am more interested in is the question to Robin. If the technology magically existed or came to light, presumably you would be totally comfortable with it, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
The problem is, and Jay cannot rebut this, is that if there are 1,000 electric cars in a particular location and there are 10 charging stations, and there may be more, but there aren't going to be 1,000 in one place or in one city or one in one sports place, how is that going to happen? If you really want to bring the infrastructure there, you have to be almost as ubiquitous about it as your suggestion, Jill, that the cars could recharge themselves without having to have a plug-in situation or a charging pad at a parking spot, like you have parking meters in cities to park, and you plug in your credit card and buy two hours worth of parking or 10 hours worth of parking. That's the only way it would really work to make the nation of people comfortable owning electric cars by, let's say, 2050. It's not going to happen by 2030. Yes, Jay is sort of correct in that the charging stations are getting there. You look at the ads for the Volkswagen IDX4, and they say they're ChargeX, that they come complete with a network of mapping of ChargeX stations that are fast rolling out, I guess, like Tesla stations are, but I haven't seen any yet. There certainly were no visible charging stations in any of the, I didn't walk through the parking garages. I'm sure some of them have a couple of charging stations available for electric cars, but they're all going to be outnumbered, the charging stations, that is, by a mass arrival of electric cars, if that happens, before anybody realizes that a parking garage that may hold 500 cars probably needs 200 electric stations at least if we're going to be all electric by 2030. But I don't think we are, for another reason, completely apart from the charging situation. All I saw driving between Vail and Denver were virtually large Suburbans, large SUVs with car carrier tops and or ski racks hanging off of them, climbing the long stretches of the hills between Denver and Vail, using juice or fuel going up, recharging, or your mileage, immediate mileage thing going up to 200 miles per gallon, going down the other sides. And, of course, between Denver and Vail, for example, and that's not getting to Aspen, there are some exits where you could get gasoline, Jill, as you say. They're all over the place right now. But the charging stations aren't going to be readily available for fast charging to get to your destination quickly enough to make us go out and buy an electric Jeep or an electric Suburban, if that's the case, or a Hummer, unless the charging stations are readily available where the vehicles are going to be resting in the destinations. And I just don't think it's going to happen by 2030. I'm not dispelling Jay's idea that it's going to be coming to us, because it is. But we've got to hope that the technology that comes towards us for this is going to be upgradable by technological marvels, instead of having to replace the slow chargers with fast chargers.
And
what the cars are going to be able to accept, the battery packs are going to be able to accept. Not to mention, are we going to have a VHS versus a whatever it is type of thing, where a Tesla can't charge at any electric station, or a VW can't charge at any electric charging station available? Or are we going to have Tesla charging stations for Teslas, and everybody else is going to have the ChargeX type?
Can I make a bet? Can I bet the radio station? Can
sure.
I make some money here? I bet that the technology that is currently out and the technology that is coming out are so vastly different that we will have to spend an entire show going, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh.
I don't want to say that. This isn't what we want to talk about. It's like ranting about vehicles, manufacturers, which is on.
So let's talk about something else.
Okay. No one's taking my bet. What are we going to talk about?
I'll take your bet. I'm positive it's going to happen.
You're not going to take my bet. You have to be on the other side of that. I was looking for Robin.
No, I'm not getting on your other side.
Yeah, that was dang. All right.
A problem for the industry, not a problem for the public. Unless the early electric car chargers will not be able to take this new technology, you say may require the older cars not to be able to accept the new technology that you think might be on that horizon.
No, I just think it's going to be more available for everybody. That's what I'm saying.
It's going to be more available. Just question how fast, because GM's saying they want to have all their at least passenger car vehicles electric by 2030. Now, that won't probably bother a place like Vail, because there weren't a lot of passenger cars in Vail. They were all SUVs.
Right.
And a ton of them were the Suburbans, the Giants. And if they go all electric, and I don't think they're going to be able to do it easily, except Hummer is going to try it, there's going to be a problem with charging stations, and that's all I want to say. Jeep is trying to solve the problem with the electrification of the Jeep Wrangler, and an article in a recent issue of Automotive News says Jeep is going to set up charging stations at all these trailheads of these off-road places, where you go when you... If you're using fossil fuel
Wranglers,
you've got to have gas cans, supplementary gas cans, for refueling if they need to be refueled in the middle of the Rubicon Trail, for example, as opposed to the trailheads. And I'm looking at a picture of they had a jamboree in last month, out there in the west somewhere, and Jeep has had Jeep Wranglers parked by Jeep-branded solar panel. Powered, maybe also hooked into the grid, charging stations to try to get people to go buy electric Jeep Wranglers if they want to go off-road on the Rubicon Trail and other big, long trails that take you well into the woods and will draw lots of power as you crawl at 1 or 2 miles an hour over rocks and whatever else you face on these trails. And I don't know whether that's going to do it, but then if the Bronco comes, is there going to be a Bronco charging station, for example, if the Bronco goes all electric? The public has got to be convinced it's going to be reliably available, as opposed to the industry, which is going to try to sell you electric vehicles. But they're going to have an infrastructure readily available for where people go and use these electric vehicles.
So I think rock crawlers, and there is such a group of people who go crawl
sure
rocks with Jeeps, don't use brand new $70,000 Wranglers that are, first of all, the width of a semi-truck. They use old Jeep Cherokees, and they use old Jeep Wranglers with the inline six that was built for decades. And that's what you see rock crawling. Everything else in the Jeep world is just a marketing gimmick. And Ford has its own marketing gimmick going on, and this is just my opinion, with the Bronco brand or sub-brand. And I just read about Ford now getting ready to open Bronco stores. So you're going to be able to go, and this reminds me of the Harley dealership. early 2000s, and we all see where the Harley-Davidson brand is today. And having Bronco stores where you can go buy your Ford Bronco and your cowboy hat to go with it and the horns to put on the hood, I think it's just I think it's just a gimmick.
Well, Jay's right on that front. Ford is not promoting the stores. 100 dealers have banded together to build the stores, and the article further says that Ford is it's not Ford's doing initiation to do this. But that's an aside. I think those dealerships are very well funded on their own. They expect to sell a lot of Broncos, and they probably will until we get saturated. They can do what they want with their money. And Ford's going to give them a higher allocation. So that means that maybe our small Ford dealership right around the corner from our broadcast station may get 2 Broncos a month instead of 5 because a big Ford dealership over in Rhinebeck might build a Bronco-only standalone showroom and get 100 Broncos a month. That's the kind of thing that goes on with this marketing stuff that is done by either the manufacturers or individual dealers to try to do something nice about a particular vehicle that they're very hot to promote and they want to get a lot of. And they can do it.
Okay.
Okay.
And Jay?
Moving on, back to planet Earth and, you know, everyday yeah. SUVs.
How about Lime Rock?
How about Lime Rock?
Yes.
How about that for news, huh?
That is. So, tell us about it.
Well, I think I don't know much more than what everybody else has read in the press release. Skip Barber last week announced the sale of Lime Rock Park to a group of investors with 3 more prominent investors and who will be managing the company. The new Lime Rock, I forget what it's called, Lime Rock Park Group, or and the one CEO, and I'm trying to remember his name now, it'll come back to me, has a background in the, he was the CEO of Airstream and Thor Industries, so he was comes from the RV world. We know they have expansion plans. And I tried to find out a little bit more about that, and it's kind of it's still nebulous to me, but I think it'll be interesting. I mean, what is for sure is that Lime Rock Park is going to try to attract manufacturers and big companies into organizing events at the track that will not only use the track itself, but the facility. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Well, I hope it's good luck for them because those of us who like to go to races and watch events and are in the car interest business would be sure to probably attend some of the corporate events that might go on there. Sort of like the Sundays in which they have the historic cars parked on the track and or vendors are there doing things. And that would certainly generate more consistent activity at the track for those and people who are going to own it. And they certainly want to try to generate something that's going to generate profits for them.
Well, I think
the track is finally going to change hands because Skip Barber has owned it for a long time. He's done a wonderful job with it. But he is at the age part of time of his life in which it should be passed on to the next generation.
Although my understanding is that he will be participating.
That's correct. What I hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, when you have someone with vision, you kind of, it's always interesting. You try and keep him around.
Well, he's got a lot of wisdom and a lot of good advice for people, I presume, to help them along until they get going on their own, in which case he can fully retire and disappear. But his interest in cars is known to many as being consistently strong, and he owns a number of cars of his own, which he hides away in the garage in his property. And so as long as he's actively able to do it, I'm sure he'll be connected to Lime Rock.
All right. Now let us move on to spring safety tips in our final 4 minutes, our schedule.
I'll start with one thing, because I noticed that the foliage is starting to come out, and that's going to mean that areas that are shaded in the wintertime are going to be even more shaded in the summertime, and it's going to be, make people that are on bicycles and or walkers, and there are certainly a lot more walkers around because of the way living styles have changed, to become even more invisible if they're walking roadways that are busy. And, you know, our side roads don't have any line markings marking these sort of so-called pedestrian or bicycle lanes as the state highways do. And those even are insufficient in some ways for keeping people at a safe location on the roads if they are not in a motorized car. You know, visibility, as Jay has said, and I agree, you can't have your eyes wandering from the road when you're driving because there are too many potential issues, and we don't have enough people paying attention to the walk-facing traffic regulation, which is in certainly in Connecticut, it has been, or it's in many other states, too, because if you're walking with the traffic, how can you see behind you if a car has to make an evasive maneuver because of some oncoming traffic issue? You can't. And you also shouldn't, as a walker, ever be have your face in your phone, but that's all too often not something that I find is practiced. Jay?
It's spring. Time to put the snow tires back in the garage and put your summer tires back on.
And take off the ones that have studs in them, too.
If
anybody
like
listens
me,
and has studs in their cars, in their tires, please take them off. I hear them in Sharon coming down the roadway. You can hear them a quarter of a mile away. And they do eat up the asphalt. Besides, and they probably don't work as well on dry pavement because they stick out of the tires a little bit and therefore lift the rubber off the road. Is that true, Jay, or am I wrong?
Yeah, probably right. Tires. People are going to start towing again. If you have a trailer, whether you tow a boat with it, you tow a motorcycle, a car.
Make sure the lights are working.
Make sure the lights are working. Make sure the wheel bearings are greased. Make sure the tires are inflated, and let's go and have some fun.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.